Amen. And this is a thing that we get from God. This is all we have. Amen. If you don't take that, God's not going to give you anything else. Amen. But if you'll turn your Bibles with me to Matthew 15. Amen. I thank God for the people that stayed with the truth. Amen. Because there's been times that, you know, was probably people would have liked to just went a different way. Amen. Because sometimes when you're in a small church, you want people. You like to have people around to worship with. And I believe the churches in the days gone by, I don't believe in the apostolic church. We haven't changed that much. Satan is trying his best to get us changed, but we haven't done it yet, and I think we're going to stay with it. Because you know why? We have the truth in God. Amen. Matthew 15, we're going to read verse 1 through 9. Verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. Says ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word, Lord, you've given us tonight. And I pray, God, let it not be me, Lord, but let you speak through me here tonight. Lord, that I might say the things that might help some here today, Lord, to just go on another day. And Lord, that they might put their trust in you. Because, Lord, there's nothing this world has to offer anybody, not this eternity, Lord. And we, Lord, tonight we strive for that, but we press toward that mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's what we do tonight. I pray, Lord, that you let me say something that will encourage the ones before me tonight. Amen. You know, one thing about the scribes and the Pharisees, they never missed too many of Jesus' meetings. But you know, they wasn't there to learn. They was there to find fault in what Jesus had to say, and not knowing that they were going against God Almighty, that was robed in flesh. He was manifested in Jesus Christ. And I can imagine, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when they die and they meet God, and all they've got to say is that they question the master of the word. Amen. Jesus come back to them. They tried to find fault because they didn't wash their hands before they eat. Now, this wasn't a commandment of God. This was the elder's tradition. Jesus, he knew. Now, you're not going to get anything past Jesus because he is the word. He says, why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Amen. And the things that they would do, they find ways around God's word, and they do the same thing today. Amen. Something they'll say, they'll baptize you any way you want to be baptized. Just come on and come to church with us. You know what? This word has always sit down, it's always been straight, and it's always been to right down to the rock of it, always set in stone. And we can't change God's word. When you begin to change God's word, people that do that, they have a God complex. They do. Amen. When you begin to change God's word, say you know more than God, you're putting yourself in place of God. And I find it in the Bible that there's a lot of the things that I don't understand, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and stay with it anyway. Because it's the word of God. And this is what we must do. Now, people and their devices, amen, is a thing that has hindered God's work all along the way. Because when God don't move, amen, the way you think he ought to, amen, don't find fault with God. Look to yourself. Amen. I know a lot of times I've prayed for things that didn't seem like God answered me. But you know, his answer might have been no. And there's a lot of time, but we find that there was people, amen, that has with their own devices all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Amen. That was the first one that rose up with his own devices. He wanted to change God's word. And I don't know, but we find that in Genesis 3 and 1. You can't say you never thought about this. When you seen this in Genesis 3 and 1, you said, where did this creature come from? Where did he come from? And you know, that scripture had brought more controversy than probably most of the scriptures of the Bible, how people try to figure out who this creature was. Some say it was Satan. The Bible in the scripture where he said it was more subtle than any beast of the field that God had made. So I'm going to go ahead and stay with the word of God. I'm going to say that he was the beast of the field that God had made. Now he said he was more subtle than any of the rest, saying he was smarter. He was a sly old fox. But I believe this. I believe Satan entered into this creature. Amen. And then he spoke through him. Because there's plenty of places in the Bible where there were some that spoke through, amen, people, even to Jesus Christ, that were possessed of the devil. So I believe that could have happened here. But the main thing that happened here, amen, is that he brought his own devices and that he wanted to change the word of God to suit himself. And I know he had to know God. God was pretty much around at that time. But he wanted to make God to go in the direction that he would have. He wanted to destroy what God had, is what Satan wanted to do. Amen. He'll bring his own devices. And many times when we get into the word of God, and the reason I thank God for the apostolic church, amen, I come in out of the Trinity Church, and I found people that pointed me to the word of God, and I brought these things up to the pastor and everything. We brought them up to him. What about this? And you know, when it started getting into my heart, I couldn't get away from it. The truth of God, if you'll let it, it will come from your mind and get into the depth of your heart, because this is what God is wanting to put in you. But Satan wants to put doubt. He wants to bring doubt to the word of God. Genesis 3 and 1, he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He asked Eve. He said, God say you not to eat of every tree of the garden? You know what? He's just trying to pull Eve in. He started a conversation with. When the devil starts trying to pull you in, amen, you can always tell, because he'll change the word of God a little bit. I taught one time about Satan tracks. You can always tell it's Satan because of his tracks. He always leaves the same ones. It's always he's going to try to twist God's word around. But Eve said, I'm just putting this, I don't know if he's putting it up here or not, but I'm just reading partly in it. It says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but Genesis 3 and 3 said, we're forbidden to eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden. If we eat it, we shall die. It said, or touch it, lest you die. She added a little bit to it. But the thing of it is here, amen, Satan has got her into a conversation. And he says, you, verse 3 and 4, say, you shall not surely die. Satan likes to plant doubt in her heart. And I've had some doubt planted in my heart, and I know that you have. I tell you what, work and living for God has not been a piece of cake. There's been times that I have struggled. There's been times that I've struggled with the word, and there's been times that I have doubted. Satan has gotten my heart enough that I doubted even maybe some of the things I read in the word of God until I catch myself. Amen. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the word of God. Sometimes you don't have anybody to do it for you. Sometimes you just got to, David said, I encourage myself. Amen. In God. And how do you encourage yourself in God but to get into his word? I can be really discouraged about something, but when I get into the word of God, just something rises up in me, and you know, it just seems like that doubt that I have just begin to fade away. And that's one of the reasons God said to assemble ourselves together, and even more so as we see that day approaching. Now, we have a small crowd here, and Satan has been fighting to destroy the apostolic church ever since they've been one. You know why? Because we're in the truth of God. Now, When I was in the Trinity, I would get down and I would pray, and I'd try to give a little bit to God and a little bit to Jesus and a little bit to the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to offend either one of them. Oh, but you know what? It was good when I found out they wasn't but one God, that I didn't have to pray to two or three, but they was just one God. Now, Jesus, God has always thought a lot about being one God. He's not going to share his glory with other gods. He is one God and one faith, one baptism. And I am so glad that when someone came by and they wanted to tell me the truth, I thought I was in the truth. Amen. But when that became so clear, you know, there's one thing about having, we have the freedom of choice. Amen. We can do that. We have choice in our lives. We can make a choice. Amen. But once you make a choice, then that choice rules you. Amen. Once you make that choice, it's like the, I don't know if it's in the Bible or I read it somewhere else, but it went kind of like this. It said, you are master of the unspoken word, but once you speak it, it becomes a master of you. So we have power of choice, but once you make it, it has power over you. So we find in this writing that we're reading here today, amen, they had changed the word of God to suit themselves, but once they had a choice, they could do that. You know, I can change the word of God if I want to. I have power of choice. But once you make that choice, it has power over you, and it's going to carry right along with you all the way to the day of redemption, or the day that you die, unless you make it right with God. Amen. And in the garden, it wasn't too long, there was a couple of brothers that come up and brought a sacrifice to, or an offering up to God. Their names were Cain and Abel. We all know them well. Amen. One brought an offering that God received, and another brought an offering that God would not receive. Now, they both made a choice. Amen. And because one made it by faith, that tells me that he knew, he had heard about how to do it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he knew what he was doing was by faith, because God has said, this is what you do. Or maybe Adam, you know, taught him that. This is how we do this. But Abel went about and he brought something up from the ground. And you know, I can imagine. And when I first read that, I don't know why God was so mad at him. You know, I bet it took quite a bit to get all that together and bring and offer that up to God. But you know, God had a plan. And any time between God's plan and man's plan, once you go, your will and God's will collides. Now, it collides when you begin to change the plan that God had laid down, amen, from way back then, was to this day right now. Amen. To this day, right now, God has made a plan, and we are part of that plan. We're fruits of that plan, that it went on all the way from the Garden of Eden all the way. It made it all the way to here, but it had to go through a lot of things to get here. Amen. Because now, Cain, all he had to do was repent and make that right. Because God wouldn't receive what he had. He had his own devices. He had his own thoughts. And that's what he brought to God. But you know, about thoughts, you know, I had a preacher down in Missouri, and he was a really good pastor. I really loved him a lot. But now, he didn't want your notes up in the pulpit. He was just that way. He said, you pray about that message you got, and you read and you study at home, and then when you get here, you don't have those notes in your way in case God wants to change it. And that's all right. But I got my notes here. So I hope God don't want to change it, because I might not know what where he wants me to go. But anyway, these two brothers, they brought their offering up to God. And you know, folks, we have the same choice today. We can either go by this word, or we can go in another direction. We can either take it for what it says. Now, this creature in the field, I don't know, in the garden, I don't know who he was. There's some people that say they do. They know who he was. I know that Satan had possessed him. I know that. The because this is the way Satan does. He always tries to come in like a sly old fox, and then he'll begin to move you away from God. But there's a lot of reasons why God couldn't receive that offering. Amen. One thing, the ground was cursed for Adam's sake. Isn't that what the Bible says? The ground was cursed, and here he was offering something up from the ground. Now, the thing that Abel offered, it had nothing to do with him. He didn't create that thing. God created that thing. And it was going to be a blood sacrifice, and that was going to go all the way down through the ages to where we are today. And because of that, amen, because that kept going, we have now today the possibility of being saved. If we go according to God's word, amen, I believe that God's word says that you have to repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because there was a man that asked that question, that's what Peter told him. He said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he told him what he should do. And that's the word of God. And now when you come to this, now here you have Cain bringing something from the ground, the cursed ground. Well, God couldn't receive it from a cursed ground. But there's another reason why he couldn't receive it, because it wasn't a blood sacrifice and it went against his plan. So we know. And then Cain, he approached God as if there was no separation, as if it's all okay. You know, the world, they like to think that Jesus is their friend. And you know, I made a statement one time. I said, Jesus is not your friend. He's your God. But you know, Jesus is our friend. Jesus is my friend. He's your friend. You know why? Because we came by the cross. Amen, and we made it possible for Jesus to be our friend. But the world wants to think that Jesus is their friend without them coming by the cross or any other way. They like to add to the word of God. See, that's still Satan. He's still pulling the same old things today as he did yesterday. You know, he's kind of like God in one way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change much either. So you can find him, you can catch him, if you just keep your spiritual ears open. You can catch him every time. Because Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. He became righteous. He became righteous by what he did. He obeyed God, and by faith, amen, he brought what he had to God. And he brought the offering that God had told him to bring. Amen. People get today, they want to think that serving God is just old foganism, my wife used to call it. But you know what? It takes a better man to serve God than one to stay out there in the world, I can tell you that. I was out there, and you know, when I came in to God, I tell you what, I was so far down to the bottom that I thought for years God could not even use me. I thought he could not even use me. I thought there were so many other people out there much better. But when we come to God in faith, how do we come to God by faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't come to God any other way. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted because he didn't come according to the word of God. And if he's not going to accept his sacrifice unless he comes according to the word of God and exactly like God tells him to do it, how else are we supposed to come? Amen. Our ways and God's ways are way apart. And God said, my ways are higher than your ways, even as the heavens is from the earth. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If you have a thought, I've heard some say, well, I have a thought tonight. And that's good, as long as that thought goes along with God's word. That thought will be blessed, but if it don't, God's not going to receive it. That's why we have to do this, David. We have to have that word hid in our heart. Because if you, we're not here in church all the time, we spend more of our time outside the church than we do in the church. We don't always have somebody saying, tapping you on the shoulder and letting you know when you're getting into an area that you shouldn't be in. Righteousness. What is righteousness? It's knowing God's word and acting upon it. What if you know God's word and you don't act upon it? Amen. We need to know God's word. We confess God's word, then act upon God's word, then it's made perfect. There's no way that you or I can work our way into heaven. Works is part of our salvation. When I came to God, I don't even know why He received me. But I thank God that He did. Because when the will of God and the will of man collides, God has to do something. In the book of Genesis, the flood, when God's will and man's will collided, something had to happen, or else, you know, the day that we are where we're at right now never would have happened. It never would have got here. I'm not going to begin to try to tell you why the flood came and all this and all that. It just happened. And God had a very good reason for it, because the will of God and the will of man collided there. Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I'm glad He said He wasn't going to do it by the flood anymore, because I think the rain would have got started a long time ago, the way the world is today. But you know, we live in a grace dispensation. All you've got to do, you make it right with God. You've got this time, but once it's gone, you don't have any more time. I had a brother, most of you know, passed away here a couple of days ago, Brother Bassett. And Brother Bassett, that man one-on-one, you couldn't beat him. One-on-one, he was really good. And he had a zeal. He wanted to preach so bad, and he did preach. And you know, sometimes I wish I had the zeal he had. But you know, We need that. And I had a lot of good conversations with him. He'd gone on to meet God, and one time he died in church, and God rose him back up. Yeah, these two back here, they was witness to it. And the way that it was told to me, he had to be dead. They even pronounced him dead, but God rose him back up in the church. You know, God don't expect us to be all that elegant and all that kind of stuff, you know, in our speech and the way we can conduct ourselves in front of people. You know, He don't judge. Nobody's the same. And me, I've always been, I can sit right over there and mind my own business and be all right. And if I never got up here, I'd be all right. Because I want to be in the service of God. If I'm not leading the service, that's fine. I like it better. I'd like to feast off of somebody else. But after a while, I guess we all have to do something. Isaiah 55 and 8. If you read these scriptures, I already almost quoted them a while ago. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now listen, right there, that's enough to make you kind of tremble when you begin to get these devices in your head and you think you know something better than God. You know, a God complex. You know, you can't, a man with a God complex, you can't give him anything, because he's got everything set in stone. He believes he's infallible. He doesn't believe that he can do anything wrong. Everybody else is wrong, and he's always right. But you know, I think Satan had one thing right there when he told Eve. He said, you shall surely not die, for you will be as God, knowing good and evil. And I think that's one of the reasons God says we have to humble ourselves, because I think we all have a little God complex. We all want it our way. But you know what? You can't serve God that way, because guess what? tell you a little bit about your flesh. Your flesh is enmity against God. And you've got to humble yourself down before God. Why? You've got to humble this flesh. Because this flesh is always wanting to rise up. And we've got to get control of this old man. We've got to get control of this flesh. Amen. And that's the reason the Bible said we have to humble ourselves before God and turn from our wicked ways. Repent. That's what our nation needs to do. They need to repent. God would heal our land. He said He would. But I talk with people at my work and everything, and we have this guy out here. He's really loud and all that, and we said something about God, and so they opened the door, and we was just in the break area there, about five or six of us, and he said this thing about God. He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "I may not be perfect." He said, "But I'm just as good as anybody I know." I said, "You know what? I agree with you. But you ain't good enough for God." He said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Because everything you do, everything that you've done that's good, it hasn't counted you one thing." I said, "Until you come by Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, and you be baptized, and you repent, and you get filled with God's Spirit," I said, "then your good works mean something." I said, "But He'll make you better. Your work will be better. But until you've done that," I said, "you can be as good as you want to be." I said, "You can be even as good as you think you are." He thinks he's pretty good. I said, "But that's not good enough. For our righteousness is as filthy rags." When I come to God, I come with my hat in my hand. I didn't have nothing to offer. And He had everything to offer. And I was, when I came to God, I cried like a baby. Because I knew how much sin I had behind me. I knew it was going to take an awful big God to forgive all of those sins. But you know, God has dealt with a lot worse than me. Amen. All we have to do is humble ourselves before God and recognize ourselves as sinners. Recognize everything that we do in this flesh is not going to be anything until we make things right with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, because He's made the way all the way back in the garden, starting from right there. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Cain's thoughts and his imagination led to the flood. Abel's thoughts and his obedience by faith has made it possible for us to be where we're at today, because it came on through the flood. Amen. Thank God that he looked down and he saw one that was still righteous. Amen. He found that Noah was righteous in his day. Now we're all descendants of Noah. And Jesus Christ came on right on through there. All of the kingdom kept going right and kept pointing to Jesus Christ. And one day Jesus Christ came. And the scribes, they wouldn't accept Jesus Christ because they was looking for another type of Christ. They was looking for a king. They was looking for somebody to come back that would rule. Amen. That would reign. But God had another plan. They should have known God's plan all along, because it was plainly given out. It wasn't hid, done in a corner. It was done right out in the open. So there was no, without choice, there was without the excuse. You don't have an excuse. The Bible says you can look at the firmament. You know, that's how Abraham got called out. When Abraham, now this is history, it's not Bible, but Abraham, back in his day, back with his kin folks and all of them, they all was worship all kinds of gods. They had lots of gods, but Abraham, he just looking at the firmament, He had this notion there was but one God. And he began to preach that there was but one God. Now, according to history, that's the reason that God called him out from among his people, out from among his kin, and to this day, there's still one God in Israel. And Israel became God's chosen people. Why? Because they believed in one God. And I thank God that I belong to a church that believes in one God. Amen. Why? Because if it meant that much to God that he chose the children of Israel became his chosen people because Abraham had this notion there was but one God. If that means that much to God, guess what? I'm glad I'm in a church, amen, that believes in one God. I'm glad that I believe in one God. Man wants to just keep on going like they are. They don't want to change things. But you know, I had some things wrote down here that happened with Constantine, and most of you people all know it. But you know what he did? He became a Christian because things were getting. Let me read it. I'll just read it. We still got 10 minutes. I'll let you go at 8 o'clock. If I ain't done, I'll just quit. All right, I looked down. I looked into history. I didn't go ask in the apostolic what you thought about it. I didn't ask the Baptist what you thought about it. I didn't ask the Catholic what you thought about it. I just went to history, and I found this is the best answer. The Hebrew did not follow a Trinitarian God, just one God, whom they call Yahweh. The early Christian did not believe in a Trinitarian God either. During the rule of the Emperor Constantine of Rome, around 300 A.D., He united pagan beliefs with Christian beliefs. The Council of Nicaea, because his empire was falling apart. Now, this is not a good reason to come to God because your empire is falling apart. Therefore, he became a Christian and adopted pagan beliefs as well. 300 A.D. marks the beginning of what is known today as the Catholicism. This is well documented in history. So, always one God until 300 A.D. And now then this man here, he had a thought. He had a choice. He still had the power of choice. But once you make it, it has the power over you. He made that choice. And then that kept coming to see. Choices are like snowballs. If you have it on top of a hill, you make a little starts out a little bitty snowball. But you let it go and it just comes into a big thing. Now what Constantine did, look what a snowball to effect got to today. A Trinitarian God that has overwhelmed the Christian people. There's more people that believe in three gods than there are one. We're just a small percentage of the Christian people. Israel was just a small percentage of the world too. Here's what people need to do. All you hear today is love, God's grace. Some churches, you do anything different than that, they won't listen to you. So what man did, well, they just started giving them what they wanted. Whatever you want, that's what we'll give you. But the Bible says in Romans 11 and 22, consider therefore the goodness and the severity of God. Now this is the New Testament talking here. Now, we need to figure the severity of God in the things that we do, too. We need to fear this word as much as they did way back when. It says, consider, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. God takes it pretty seriously there is one God. He takes a lot of other things pretty seriously, too. But when you get off track right from the very beginning, it's just going to be like a snowball effect. It's just going to get bigger, bigger, and bigger. But people, they seem like, I don't know why, but a lie is more enticing than the truth. It is. Some folks just want to hear bad things. But I like the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, Mark 12 and 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord. Now, God likes zeal. He likes for people to get zealous about his word. But being zealous without truth is no good either. I think Cain was probably more zealous than Abel was. Because it took a lot more to scratch all of that stuff out of the dirt and bring it and present it before God. Romans 10 and 2 says, I bear them witness they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You've got to have it all together. It comes in a one small package. And I thank God that there's a lot to be said about repenting, being baptized in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. It says it all. Amen. And then your walk begins with God. And then that's why we have the fivefold ministries. We have pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, prophets. Amen. So help us along our way with God. I think Brother Wells is he can say more in 30 minutes than some preacher can say in 2 hours. He does. I usually, when the preacher says this, when he says, I won't keep you very long unless God moves, I might as well get comfortable. You're going to be here for a while. I'll see that every time, and you have too. Brother Moore, if he had 10 people in the church that sang, he'd sing all 10 of them. And sometimes we get there at 7, he wouldn't get started preaching till 9. And he'd always say that same thing. Well, I won't keep you long unless the Lord moves. Just get comfortable. He's not going to move or something. Romans 1 and 21. Here's what happens. I believe there's an instinct that every man has that there is a God. The first one that remember the first time you ever understood that there was any kind of a God, to stand up and tell me the first time that you remember that happening to you. You always knew there was a God. You knew of God. You just didn't know God. Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither was thankful, but become vain. Vain means empty. In their imaginations, their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, when you come to know God, what you need to find out, need to get to know God, you need to find out what God wants you to do. You're not born with a knowledge, you're born with an instinct that there is a God. But God's put us down here. He put us down here to worship, to serve, and be good Christians today. And here's what they do, Romans 1 and 22, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. It goes on and say four-legged creatures and all that stuff. We don't have that to worry about, but we do have to think about how we change the glory of God. I know that when you think of idols and that kind of thing, you think of some big thing that they put before you, bow down before it. But folks, we serve a materialistic God today. And people will work 2-3 jobs and never have time for God. So I think that would almost fit in here. They chose the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Man's way, man's thing. And I can't say I haven't been guilty of the same thing. But we're supposed to support our family, but we're not supposed to forget God. They become vain, empty in their worship. There's nothing in it. But we know that faith comes by hearing. I've got 1 minute. Just joking. Let's all stand. I think I'm done, but I want you to remember this last verse. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Thoughts? Be careful with your thoughts. Be careful of other people's thoughts that you listen to. Exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Bringing into captivity to what? To the Word of God. This is the only thing that's going to get you anywhere. We're making up something else. Will not get you anywhere. But this Word will. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, Lord, to bring the bread of life, Lord, to thy servants, Lord, this day. I thank you, Lord, for the apostolic people. I thank you, Lord, for the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, that we know that you are one Lord, one God. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. We thank you for a place of worship. We thank you for this service here tonight. Lord, we pray that you touch each one of us and be with us on our journeys to our homes. We ask it all in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.